Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Ethiopia, the Horn of Africa. The man's name is Abiy Ahmed. He's a Nobel Peace Prize winner. He's the Prime Minister of Ethiopia. He has led the forces, the military forces of Ethiopia, in a counterattack from the capital, Addis Ababa, to drive back the TPLF invaders to the Tigray Mountains. However, now there are competing headlines coming out of Africa. And I welcome Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, to interpret these headlines. For example, Abiy has said there will be negotiations between his government and TPLF terrorist forces. Also, Ethiopia's drone wars, Iran, China, and Turkey deliver the air power behind Abiy's resurgence. Also, PM Abiy says great Ethiopian run promoting unity, fraternity among Ethiopians. Also, AP report in these last weeks, Nobel body criticizes Nobel Peace Prize winner Abiy over war. Gregory, I really can't tell whether Abiy's in more trouble having solved the Tigrayan invasion or whether he was in more trouble before when the expectation from some headlines was that the Tigrayans were going to overrun Addis Ababa. Who is Abiy Ahmed, the Nobel Peace Prize winner? What is his ambition for Ethiopia?
Well, Abiy Ahmed Ali is an interesting fellow. He's a son of a Muslim father and a Christian mother. He's a Pentecostalist, so he's not of the mainstream Ethiopian Orthodox Church. He was raised in the Oromo region, but he's, as I say, half Oromo and half Amhara. So he's got a slightly conflicted background. He was a very bright student. He joined the army. He created and headed up the cyber warfare operations within the army as a signals officer. So he's had some frontline experience. He's had some scientific experience within the armed forces. And he retired from the army as a lieutenant colonel. So he's actually an interesting character, but he is young and he is in many ways still learning the ropes of international negotiations. He does, as Prime Minister, now have the upper hand in the conflict, so he can afford to do as he is promised to do, which is to create a national dialogue, and that was always going to be necessary. So he's started that process. He may have started a little more robustly than some members of his community would like, because it looks as though he, if you like, over committed to the TPLF. He released one of the key founders and leaders of the TPLF just recently as part of the amnesty, the Christmas Day amnesty, which he gave. But he is bringing in a lot of people from all of the different 60 to 80 or so major ethnic and groups in Ethiopia. So he really is starting that dialogue. A lot of people are not happy that he is giving the TPLF a seat in that, but there are no other Tigrayan leaders now standing apart from the TPLF. So the TPLF is really, if you like, dominating the negotiating position of the Tigrayans.
The question about uniting Ethiopia, this run to promoting unity, fraternity among Ethiopians. I know at least three groups, the Amhara, the Oromo, the Tigrayans, and the capital Addis Ababa, knitting them together. Mm-hmm. There is also the Eritreans. Does Abiy have good relations with the Eritreans? Because they are a sizable military force.
Yes, and they're a sovereign country in their own right since the early 1990s. Yes, he has a good relationship with President Isaias Afwerki, who is the president of Eritrea. And the Eritreans have committed to supporting the national troops of Ethiopia in fighting against the Tigrayan, or the TPLF. Interestingly, the Eritreans are a Tigrinya-speaking people, and the Tigrayans of the TPLF, for example, are also a Tigrinya-speaking people. But there is a great animosity between them, particularly between President Isaias and the TPLF leadership. But the Eritreans will support the Ethiopian government of Abiy. I think Prime Minister Abiy is perhaps a little nervous because President Isaias himself is a really, really tough leader and somewhat more ruthless than Abiy. So partnering with between them would be quite an interesting exercise. But the Eritreans have even said as much as they would go back into a union with Ethiopia as they were in once before and start to bring back the old Ethiopian empire, which included not only Eritrea, which gives it a long coastline under the Red Sea, but also Djibouti, which was historically part of Ethiopia. So that would really bring back Ethiopia as a major Red Sea power, a naval power, which would be highly influential in monitoring and stabilizing the great Suez Canal, Red Sea, sea lane of communication, which is vital to Europe and the United States and Asia.
At least one general for the Ethiopian forces, for Ahmed Abiy, has talked about going into the Tigrayan homeland and wiping out the TPLF. Is that is that credible, or is that big talk? How is that, Gregory?
It certainly expresses the sentiment of many Ethiopians who have suffered enormously at the hands of the TPLF, the ruthless and genocidal war which the TPLF waged against Amhara and Afar people in particular. So a lot of people like that kind of talk, but the reality is that the more that the war is waged against the Tigrayan people as a whole, the more it will drive some of them into the arms of the TPLF. So the more you kill TPLF leaders and cadres, the more you probably drive Tigrayans into filling the gaps in that. A much better strategy, as Abiy has been talking about, has been this reconciliation where you placate and, if you like, put the TPLF to sleep, what's left of it, and you then win the general Tigrayan population back into the mainstream and make sure that they're not regarded as pariahs by the rest of Ethiopia.
Is the war on a pause or is it over, Gregory? Can we tell?
Oh, it's not over, but it is in a pause. Abiy has got a lot to do to prove himself and to build rebuild the peace of the country and basically to reunify it. Because one thing's for sure, the Egyptians are not yet through supporting the terrorist movements inside Ethiopia. And that particularly includes the Oromo Liberation Front and the Oromo Liberation Army, which had allied themselves with the TPLF. They still, like the TPLF, want to see Ethiopia broken up into ethnic enclaves, independent ethnic enclaves, which would be disastrous. It would be worse than Pol Pot's vision for Cambodia under the Khmer Rouge.
You mentioned Egypt, so let's go to the headlines about Egypt. Egypt is calling, this is according to the China Internet Information Center, so everything has to be caged. Egypt is calling for resuming negotiations on Ethiopia's dam project. What negotiation? This is the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam. I thought that matter was settled, or does Egypt still regard it as something that can be moved?
Well, they don't regard it as, I think, as an object which can be destroyed anymore, which is one of the things they were talking about. But they need some face saving to resolve the situation. And that's going to be in the form of some kind of Ethiopian-Eritrean talks, probably including Sudan, possibly including South Sudan, where you have all the Nile riparian states talk about how they will manage water flow. The bottom line is that there is only so much water coming through the Nile, and therefore there's only so much water you can promise from one state to the next. Ethiopia can certainly credibly say that it would continue to do what it has always done, which is to pass the bulk of the water down through the Blue Nile into Sudan. And the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam, which has been the point of contention, has never been a dam to retain water for agricultural and water use purposes. It has been a hydroelectric dam, and that was designed, it was actually even built with the express purpose of sending electricity to Sudan, selling that as an export commodity by Ethiopia. So we need to start to see face-saving devices. This is literally about political positions, because right now, President Sisi in Egypt is in a situation where, unless he delivers some diversion to the Egyptian people, he will be blamed, and his government will be blamed, for the water shortages which Egypt faces and all of the consequences of those water shortages, including food shortages, a decline in agricultural output and therefore export activity, and so on. The situation becomes intolerable. But this has been brought about not because of President Sisi or by the Ethiopians. It's been brought about by the population growth of Egypt from, you know, in the 20s of millions a few decades ago to now 100 million people. And there's just not enough water to go around. The answer is going to be if the Nile riparian states get together with a plan, which then negotiates with other African states to divert some of the waters from the upstream area of the Congo River over a few hundred kilometers to the White Nile and just pour water from the largely wasted Congo waters into the Nile and therefore save Egypt and save Sudan.
One more detail about Ethiopia and the Nile and Egypt. This is a report within hours. Egypt's Foreign Minister Shoukry and U.S. Special Envoy for Horn of Africa David Satterfield discuss in Cairo the developments in the region, Sudan, Somalia, the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam, and we can presume Ethiopia as well. Does the U.S. seek to resolve this water conflict, this dam conflict? Because if that would go a long way to settling the disruptions in Ethiopia.
Oh, it certainly would. And that would stop all of the foreign support for the separatist movements inside Ethiopia. The question is, does the United States want to resolve this situation, or does it just want to appear to be helping and placating its great ally, Egypt? If it's going to do a real job of work, then it needs to placate both Egypt and Ethiopia, and it needs to help bring about a sense of realism in how to manage the water crisis. And that means the U.S. could get involved in helping to bring in desalination technologies, in helping to improve Egypt's very poor water management systems, perhaps resolve some of the great historical problems of the Aswan High Dam, Egypt's big dam, which the Soviets built. It's a Stalinist design, which has been disastrous for water management in Egypt. Yes, it's solved some problems, but it hasn't solved them all. And then the United States could be involved in facilitating, if you like, this greater Nile project, which involves the 100 or more year old plan to divert Congo waters over to the White Nile. So the United States could be playing a constructive role. We have no evidence that they're doing anything other than trying to tell Egypt, look, we're your great pals and we'll support you. In exchange, by the way, the Egyptian government is giving the U.S. nothing. It still does not trust the United States because of the Obama administration's absolute betrayal of democracy in Egypt when it insisted on the election of the Mohamed Morsi, the Muslim Brotherhood candidate for the presidency, and the Egyptians paid dearly in blood and treasure for that, and they'll never go back to a deal where they allow the United States to determine its internal political machinations again.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. We're going to Gregory's native Australia next and the tragedy in Tonga. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
What if you could get more from what you already do? As a Shell Fuel Rewards member, that's just a regular Monday evening. You get more rewards, more savings, and more special offers. Earn rewards when shopping, dining out, and fueling up. And all of that becomes fuel savings when you're at the pump. Use the Shell app and enjoy life with more. Your nearest Shell station is less than 5 miles away.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.